Well, hello, advanced listeners. It's great to be back with you during the month of January. And we have come so far this month. We are up to our adventure article this month, and we have a great one for you. We're going to be talking about surfing today and also autism. Now, they sound very different, but we will go into our article and you will learn more about how they come together. But first of all, I would like you to meet the other hosts that I have with me today. So, to my right, I have...
Pauline, really excited for this very interesting article today.
Thanks for joining us today, Pauline.
Happily.
And to my left, I have...
David here, and I'm very excited to be back as well.
Well, I wanted to first of all ask you, because we are talking a lot about surfing today, so I wanted to ask you, have you ever been surfing before?
I've surfed once in my life, and it's recently, actually.
Really? How was the experience for you, David?
The waves were not too big, which was especially good for a first-time surfer, but it didn't really go well for me because I kept falling off.
Now, why did you keep falling off, do you think?
I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm too tall.
David is really tall. You can't see him, obviously, as listeners, but he is a tall guy. I would guess it would take a little more practice to be able to pop up on that surfboard without falling over when you're that tall.
Yeah, David, how tall are you?
I am 6'1", which is around 185 centimeters.
Okay, so you're probably as tall as the surfboard itself.
Yeah.
Where did you go surfing?
We went to Wushigang. It's in Yilan. It's a paradise for surfers.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, I think that's where I went surfing as well, David. But mine is not as recent. I went a couple of years ago, and I actually found it quite a difficult experience. Very tiring and difficult. I did get up on the board one time, but then I fell off. But that felt like an achievement, just being able to do that, because it takes a lot of work to work with the waves. With the water. But what about you, Pauline?
I have surfed a couple times. My husband, Josh, has actually surfed a lot. He lived in Costa Rica for 10 years right near the beach, so he got really into it. I lived in Costa Rica as well, and I did try it once there. They had a beach break at the area that I was trying it, which means that you could just walk out onto the, you know, in the ocean, not too high. You didn't have to swim way far out, and you could just put the surfboard down and try it right near the shallow part of the water, which that was nice. So I was able to do it, you know, nothing grand or amazing, nothing you'd be posting on YouTube or anything. But, I stood up and went a little ways. I was pretty excited about it. And then another time I tried it in Hawaii with my sister, and we actually paid for an instructor to take us out. That was really fun, but that's when I really had that same kind of experience as you, Amanda, thinking, oh my gosh, how do people do this?
Yeah.
Because if the instructor was pushing my board, then no problem. I was able to stand up and ride the wave, and I felt like a pro. I was pretty excited. But the second he stopped pushing and suggested that I try and paddle and catch the wave myself, I couldn't do it. My arms are not strong enough.
I think we all felt very tired at the end of our experience. So I know for myself, it gave me a lot of appreciation for people that do surf, because I realized there's actually a lot of skill involved. I've done snowboarding in the past, and I felt quite confident at that. But once you have something like water under you that's constantly moving, and you need to learn how to move with that, that is just another thing altogether. So.
I agree. People ask me about that too, because I come from Montana and I've done a lot of snowboarding, and they say, oh, that must help. And I don't know if it helped much. Maybe a tiny bit, but it's so different.
Right. Well, that's why it's also interesting that in this article, we find that children that have autistic symptoms and deal with autism, they actually, some of them like to surf. So, how did this happen? Well, why don't we get into our first reading for today? And listeners, you can find that on page 36 of your Advance magazine or on your electronic device. And let's start in the first column on line one.
C
Surf camp washes away autism symptoms. Water and rhythmic waves work magic on autistic youth. William Carey said he's learned to appreciate small victories with his 17-year-old son, Ben, one step at a time. The Del Cerro teen has autism, epilepsy, ataxia, and he doesn't speak. So Carey choked up while describing how proud he was when Ben buttoned his pants for the very first time after going to the bathroom. But one victory that Ben achieved long ago was surfing. Since the age of 6, he has been participating in Surfers Healing Surf Camps for children with autism. Come on in, the water's fine. The annual event returned recently to Tourmaline Surf Park in La Jolla, California. More than 150 children took turns riding the waves with 15 professional surfers, as well as a small army of volunteers. Ben could hardly wait to get in the water with surfer Mark Shecky Graham. Within minutes of hitting the sand, Ben clambered onto a longboard and Graham gently pushed him out into the thigh-high surf. Graham, who has an 11-year-old son with autism, said he's seen firsthand how children immediately transform when they're rolling in the ocean waves. Sometimes these kids show up and they're screaming and fighting and scratching, but as soon as you get them out there, they don't want to come back in, said Graham, who has volunteered with the organization for 15 years.
Okay, listeners, if you're just joining us, we are in our adventure article for the month of January, and we're looking at how a surf camp is helping with autism symptoms, with children who have autism. Now, we're introduced at the beginning of this article to one of the fathers of a child with autism. His name is William Carey, and he said he's learned to appreciate small victories with his 17-year-old son, Ben. Now, I know Pauline, you've mentioned that you have worked a lot with autistic children, right?
Yeah, I got the privilege of working at a school that was especially catered towards high-needs youth, and a lot of those were autistic kids.
And so do you understand what he means here when he says that he's learned to appreciate the small victories?
Absolutely. I think any parent feels like that's a part of parenting is, you know, there's so many little steps along the way of development into a full-fledged adult, right? But I think you're extra aware of that with high-needs children, with developmental disabilities, such as autism, those victories just come a little harder. So we'll read a little further down the examples of one father. But, you know, in the school that I worked with, I was working with children who were still learning how to write the alphabet and, you know, maybe 5 years past what most of the kids their age would have when they would have learned it. So there's just a lot of steps that come a lot harder. It takes a lot longer. And when it happens, it's even though it sounds like a small thing to others, oh, he's 12 years old, of course he can write the letter A. You know, for the people who've been working with them, it's a huge victory and you really need to celebrate that.
Right. Well, we learn, we go on to learn to take one step at a time. And we learn that William Carey's son, Ben, who's 17 years old, he's from Del Cerro in San Diego, America. He has autism, epilepsy, ataxia, and he doesn't speak. So we learn that William Carey does what when he sees his son doing well?
I marked this term as well. He chokes up. Now, to choke normally would mean that your airway's been cut off, you're not able to breathe, this is a scary medical emergency, right? But when we add the word up, choke up, then that changes. We're talking about that. We also say you get a lump in your throat when you're almost about ready to cry and maybe you're trying to hold it back a little bit. But it's this very emotional thing that's being shown someone almost physically, and that's the phrase that we use for this. So this is a very emotional moment for the father talking about his son, who obviously has some very severe disabilities, and yet this program apparently is really helping, and he's already, and oh, actually, he's not talking about the program yet, is he? He's talking about his proud moment when his son buttoned his pants for the first time after going to the bathroom. That's such a perfect example of what we wouldn't think of as a victory at all, usually, right? Especially for an older child. You're not talking about somebody who's 3 or 4 years old being potty trained. So that's just a really beautiful thing, a father who's so cares about his son and is taking note of those little victories that he's making along the way in his severe disability.
Well, it's interesting also to see in the next line, David, that this is not the only victory he has achieved, right? Buttoning his pants is not the only victory he has achieved.
That's right. For him, it might be a very big achievement, but as we can see at age 6, he has been starting to go to this surf camp. It's called Surfer Healing Surf Camp.
Right, and it's specifically for kids with autism.
That's right.
And what a nice contrast we have here, right? We have on one hand buttoning your pants, which, you know, most parents aren't going to go around and boast that their kid is able to button their pants once they use the bathroom. This is a very striking moment of seeing how severely the disability is affecting this kid and how hard fought these battles are. But then the very next sentence you hear, at 6 years old, he was, with some level of success, able to go surfing. And now, any parent, I think, would boast to their other parents and people about that, right? So what a beautiful thing that they could experience this level of success and doing, having a really great victory for anyone, let alone someone struggling with the disabilities that Ben is.
Right. So, wow, this surface healing camp sounds like a great thing that they're doing. Can you tell us a little bit more about it, David, as they describe it in the next paragraph?
Definitely. So this is an annual event, which means it happens once every year. The kids come from all over, and there are around 150 children, and with 15 professional servers, and as well as a small army of volunteers. That's a lot of people.
It is a lot of people. And we see it's also held in San Diego. It has recently returned there, so that can tell us that perhaps in the past it's gone somewhere else, and then it's come back to San Diego. And we see that 150 kids in the water, but they're taking turns as they're doing this, because obviously only with 15 professional surfers, that's 10 children per surfer. It's a lot of children.
Well, as we can see on the picture there, that's one professional surfer taking care of two autism. That is still not enough for 115 kids.
Yeah, right. And that's quite difficult to do. We can see that already in the picture there. So thankfully, they have this small army of volunteers as well. What do we learn about Ben in the next sentence?
Well, we learn that he is really excited, right? Says he can hardly wait. So that means there's so much enthusiasm, it's difficult for him to wait his turn, right? We can say, I hardly wait for something. That means you're really excited to get on that surfboard with the professional he was paired with, named Mark Shecky Graham. And it says, as soon as he hit the sand, so as soon as his feet touched the sand, as he got out there, he went straight for that board and clambered on. That's a nice word, very brings up a lot of mental pictures for you. So it doesn't mean he just got on. It means both hands and feet climbing on full body. And it also expresses to me a lot of excitement that this kid had about just getting out there.
And he used a longboard.
Right.
Now, I think we have a picture of that. If we look on page 37, there are a few pictures. The one with the group at the back there, that really tall board, that is a longboard. And I know in surfing or water sports, we have different kinds of boards, right, Pauline?
Right. The three that you'll hear about most frequently is the longboard. That's the original surfboard that we think of most classically as a surfboard. There's also a shortboard, which is another type of surfboard that, as the name will tell you, is a little shorter. Actually, I think it's quite a bit shorter. And then there's the boogie board, which is the shortest of all of them. And it's actually not really meant for surfing, the classic stand up on top of it. It's more of a fun one just to lay your full body on and run into the waves with.
Yeah. Right.
Now that I look at the picture, I think I actually need the longboard next time I go.
Right.
Oh, you want a shortboard?
I think I was on a shortboard.
I think you do need a longboard, David.
Well, also the boogie board you mentioned is in the picture on page 36 at the bottom there. The surfer to the left, he's lying on the board. That is a boogie board, not actually a surfboard as such. Well, we see that Ben was clambered onto the longboard and Graham gently pushed him out into the thigh-high surf, which is actually quite deep, right?
Definitely.
And Graham, who also has an 11-year-old son with autism, he said he's seen firsthand how children immediately transform when they're rolling in the ocean waves. What does he go on to say, Pauline?
Well, I just want to go back here really quick. I hadn't noticed, and I'd read this, you know, this article through a couple times, and somehow I'd missed when he said Graham here. I thought we were talking about one of the parents, and I just realized that it was the surf instructor. How beautiful that he has this really deep connection, right, with autism as his own son has it and apparently has seen for himself the power that that has had in helping his own child and now gets to go out and share that with other parents who have autistic kids. I think that's really sweet. And he does go on to say that, you know, there'll be kids that show up and they're screaming and fighting and scratching. Those are pretty typical behaviors for kids with autism who have some pretty major behavioral issues and struggle communicating their emotions. So a lot of times that comes out in ways that we would see as really, you know, inappropriate. Mm. It's not what you would desire for kids, right? But it does happen a lot more with your autistic kids where there might be fighting, scratching, biting, hitting, that kind of thing. And that's what educators and parents and these people at the surf camp are all trying to help the kids with, right? Find ways to deal with life in ways that aren't as violent and that can help them find a calmer space. And apparently, the waves can really do that for some of these kids. It says as soon as they get those kids out there, even though they're kicking and screaming, maybe literally kicking and screaming, not wanting to get into the water, as soon as they do, they don't want to come back in. They're just mesmerized by it.
Well, we see Graham has been with Surface Healing Camp for a long time. He's been volunteering with this organization for 15 years. That's even before he had his own son with autism.
Oh, wow. Right? Wow, yeah, that is a really good point. I hadn't noticed that before.
Exactly.
So, yeah, he's really dedicated to this, and he's seen a lot of change with it. But let's find out in our next reading how the Surface Healing Camp all began.
How it began. Surfers Healing was started 20 years ago by surfer Izzy Paskovitz and his wife, Danielle. One day while in Hawaii, their son, Isaiah, had a meltdown on the beach and Izzy tried to distract the boy by tossing him into the waves. Suddenly, the boy's anger was replaced by smiles and wonder and Surfers Healing was born. Each year, the foundation hosts 25 camps around the world serving more than 5,000 autistic children, ranging in the age from 3 to their mid-20s. About half of the group participating recently were new to the sport.
Okay, so David, what do we learn about the Surface Healing Camp here?
Well, it tells us how it was born. The founder, Izzy Paskovitz, and his wife, Danielle, they were on the beach in Hawaii with their son, Isaiah. And his son had a meltdown, which is scary for some adults, some parents, because they don't really know how to handle it. But Izzy knew how to do it, and he tossed his son into the waves to kind of distract him. Mm. And they found out that it actually really worked. And so they created the Surfer Healing Camp.
Right. And Pauline, you were mentioning off air just about autism a little bit and the different spectrums and perhaps different things work with different children with autism, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and that's true, of course, almost with, I think, any developmental disability as well as just humans in general, right? We're all a
right.
little different, so nothing's probably going to be 100% true. And there is a spectrum. I'm glad you brought that up. I meant to bring that up before that, you know, autism just, it incorporates so many different symptoms and so many varying degrees of severity. So, you know, just if you hear that somebody has autism, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're a kid that's going to have a meltdown that includes biting and scratching or that they're going to be violent. It really depends on case by case what severity they're at, what issues they're dealing with. And depending on what severity and what particular form their autism is taking is also going to affect what treatments and things are going to help them. But a lot of autistic kids are very affected by sensory input. So the physical touch, taste, hearing, smell, all of those things just have a different level of intensity for them. So, for example, some kids will just go crazy if there's a tag in their shirt and they can feel it scratching and they won't be able to function in school or just in life until that's taken care of because all of their energy is going into just like feeling uncomfortable. Or I worked with a kid who couldn't wear any other pants except for sweatpants because any other material is just so distracting. So sometimes those physical, especially the touch sensor can be so intense that it really overrides everything. And that understanding helps me at least interpret why the water would be such a fantastic thing for them because it's a strong sensory input, but I would think very pleasant, right? So all of a sudden they get this huge sensory overload, but in a positive way, in this really calming sense that's taking over their body, that's letting them float. You know, there's just a lot of positive sensory things happening for them. And apparently these founders are seeing that it's working for a lot of autistic kids.
Right. It's interesting to see that he went from being angry because it says suddenly the boy's anger was replaced by smiles and wonder. Mm-hmm. And so that is how the Surface Healing Camp was born. Yeah, we see how they're able to start this healing camp just from this encounter with the water and seeing how it's changed. Have you often seen children that were angry become full of wonder due to an encounter they had?
It's pretty crazy when that happens, right? Most of the time we as humans don't transition from one extreme emotion to the other quite that quickly.
Right.
Especially from anger to happiness. Unfortunately, maybe we see the other way around sometimes. But it's pretty unusual, right, to go from really extremely negative to suddenly just all wonder and happiness, right?
Right.
I do have a couple times that stick out that I got to see that with a couple of my autistic kids, but they stick out because it's just such a unique thing to see. But normally this is not something we see, right? So no wonder it struck a chord for them, right? They really noticed this, and we're glad they did because
yes.
apparently it's really helped a lot of people, not just their own son.
Right. They've gone on to have this camp every year. We learned that each year the foundation hosts 25 camps around the world, serving more than 5,000 autistic children, ranging in age from 3 to their mid-20s. So I had a look at their website, and they have camps in Mexico, also Australia, and in Hawaii as well. I'm surprised at the age range, Pauline.
Sure, yeah. 3 years old is pretty young, right?
Right?
And actually, I'm surprised at 3 years old they're out on a surfboard. That's
right.
Pretty impressive. I'd be like to see what they do with those little ones. That'd be pretty
yeah.
cute. But I think we are getting better at just recognizing the symptoms a little quicker to be able to get those kids help and support earlier on, and hopefully that will help them as they develop to maybe not go into quite a severe the side of the spectrum if they have the resources that they need right away. And then, of course, into their mid-20s, we don't usually think of that as children, but developmentally they may still be quite young. So 3 to 20s, yeah, that's a pretty wide range, but definitely autism is going to be affecting all those age ranges.
Right. And David, what do we learn in the last sentence today?
Yeah. It says half of the group participating are actually new to this sport, which means this is going to grow even bigger in years to come. And yeah.
That's really amazing because it means that a lot of people still haven't been exposed to the idea of using surfing as a way to calm autistic symptoms.
Yeah, and how beautiful that they're able to provide that is just one more tool for parents who love their kids and are trying to do everything they can to help them through a difficult disability. And this is a really sweet way to do it, right? How fun that they get an option that can really feel like a vacation, like something fun, that it's not just a, an education routine or discipline. You know, there's a lot of pieces to being the parent of a disabled child that can be really draining and difficult and takes a lot of self-sacrifice. Mm-hmm. But I think what a beautiful thing this is, that hopefully it is a really refreshing thing for everyone, that it can just be a fun experience while also being therapeutic. How nice.
Right. Right. So, well, we've learned a lot today, I think, listeners, just from just this first day of this article, and we will be continuing on to our second day to learn more about how the water calms people with autistic symptoms. I know, Pauline, you mentioned you had a young boy that also loved to swim.
Oh, yeah. At the school that I worked with, we were really lucky. We had a swimming pool on site, and the kids that I worked with got to go twice a week, and I actually worked one-on-one with an autistic boy who I just absolutely loved. Please don't take anything I said about the different behavioral issues that they have as something to be scared of or as like a negative thing against them, because I think autistic kids are just beautiful. They have so much to offer. They have such a sweet view of the world. But so I worked with this particular kiddo, and he had some pretty intense needs and difficult behaviors. And one of the ways that we worked through each week was by me reminding him, now remember on Mondays, or I can't remember what days they worked. Maybe it was Wednesday and Friday. On Wednesday, we get to go swimming, but what do we need to do if we're going to be able to do that? And so he would work really hard for days towards getting all of his work done and having his behavior points correct so that he could go swimming, because it was his favorite thing. It was like the most exciting part of the week was going swimming.
Well, you know, the water seems to be very calming for people with autistic symptoms, and we're going to learn more about that tomorrow, so you'll need to return with us tomorrow. But in the meantime, you can check out our topic talks through our QR code at the top of page 36. That's all the time we have for today, but make sure you do return tomorrow to learn more about this interesting adventure article. For now, this is Amanda.
And Pauline.
David.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.